The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
On our guest line this morning, we always check in with GOP Chairman Drew McKissick. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty well for a Monday. How are you?
I am good. Hey, look, do you have a list of these code words that we're supposed to have as Republicans so I'll know how to respond?
You know, I would say it's probably a what's the word I'm looking for here? Not a sliding scale, but I think basically they're just making it up as they go along, Joey. So, You know, as things develop, you know, new words that they think might be threatening to their agenda, well, you know, then they'll be banned, and then they'll be banned. You know, they'll move on and on. They keep moving the goalposts. There's not going to be a consistent set of rules. I mean, look, the ultimate hypocrisy here in all of this, you have the president of the United States of America, who, you know, was elected by tens and tens of millions of his fellow citizens around the country, gets banned from Twitter. In the meantime, you have the head of the Chinese Communist Party, the North Korea Communist Party, the Ayatollah from Iran, the country that's been sponsoring terrorism since 1978, they're still on Twitter today. So that's really all you need to know right there. That's the ultimate hypocrisy.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Lindsey Graham said that too when he said that, you know, what world do we live in when the Ayatollah can continue to tweet and Donald Trump can't?
There you go.
And you know, so many people over the past year have decided that they would go to Parler as an alternative to Facebook. Well, hey, you know, they just shut Parler down. I mean, if you have a Parler account, last night, Amazon took them off of their servers. So at every turn.
It kind of reminds me back of the days and, you know, that we got away from, thankfully, of, you know, back in the days where you had three networks. And that was it. That's where everybody got their news. You know, ABC, NBC, CBS. And they had a monopoly. They had a stranglehold on the news. Yep. They had a stranglehold on the ability of elected officials, really, to communicate with the public.
Yep.
And then, you know, along came, you know, email and social media and talk radio and so forth. You know, we got rid of the fairness doctrine. And, you know, everybody was able to communicate freely. And this, and what we find out is liberals do not do well in a free marketplace of ideas. And it's dangerous to them because, you know, given the choice, people tend not to choose their ideas versus, you know, freedom.
Right.
And so they have to, you know, do everything they can quietly, this excuse, that excuse, to shut it down, to make it more difficult.
Yep. Well, you mentioned the fairness doctrine. It will not surprise me at all that if in fact Joe Biden is sworn in on the 20th, and it won't surprise me at all if they don't try to reinstate the fairness doctrine, because Joey Hudson talks to Drew McKissick every Monday morning. You know,
exactly. And that's not fair.
That's not. No, not at all. I had a buddy of mine text me this morning. Carl Quintanilla tweeted that Cumulus Media, which is a big media company, they employ some of the most popular, you know, right-leaning talk radio hosts in our country. They've told their on-air personalities to stop suggesting that the election was stolen, and stop questioning irregularities of the election, or they could be terminated.
It's just
crazy.
It's insidious. Again, you know, when people can't have a free exchange of ideas, you've got a problem.
Yep. All right. So, Mr. Chairman, here's what I was saying on Thursday and Friday of last week after things just really took a turn and all. I mean, you know, we can't give up. We've got to stay positive, and now is the time to start again at the grassroots level and build the party, get the right candidates on the ballot, because, you know, we've got elections. Yes, it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but we got to start building for next year and for 4 years from now.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as we saw unfortunately, last Tuesday in Georgia. You don't win by staying home. There were, I think the number is 300,000 to 350,000 Republicans who turned out for Donald Trump on Election Day in November who didn't turn out this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, the votes were there. You don't win by staying home. I mean, that's just one example. But, you know, more to your point, you know, in terms of engagement in the political system itself, you know, you don't make a difference. You don't advance your ideas if you're not engaged.
Yeah.
You know, we thank goodness for people who actually get out and vote. But, you know, hey, I'm more appreciative of folks who actually get involved in the political system itself. You've got an opportunity this coming year in the spring to get involved in the Republican Party, as you point out. And have an impact not just on candidate recruitment, but working with candidates, and that influences the type of candidates that we elect. And look, even think about the local level stuff. I mean, that's right. The easiest stuff usually to influence because turnout is lower, and that is the farm team of American politics.
Right.
And we ignore it at our peril.
It's where it all starts, going to your precinct meeting, you know, becoming a delegate to the county convention, a delegate to the state convention, which eventually leads you to the national convention. But you're right. I mean, you know, recruiting those members of county council, recruiting city councilmen, mayors, recruiting school board members. It all starts at the local level, and you know, I got people who say they're not happy with the Republican Party. Well, hey, get involved, and if you don't like something the Republican Party's doing, change it. Get it. If there's enough of people who do it, it'll change.
That's right. Exactly. And I mean, you know, of course, and it all depends on what's the party when people are, you know, saying. I mean, many times when people say that they're upset with Republicans, they're thinking about some particular elected official.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got so many different party organizations, national party, state party, local parties, and party committees, none of which answer to one another. They're all independent. But they get painted with the same brush, but that's fine. I mean, but at the end of the day, the more conservatives that we have engaged in the system, the more conservatives that we have turn out and get engaged in the party, the Republican Party, at all levels, the better off our agenda will be, period.
Yep. And that's what we have to do. We can't give up now. We can't just pretend it's not happening. It is happening. And look, I keep saying we have to fight harder. Evidently, I'm not supposed to be able to say that. I guess that's one of those code words when you talk about fight. You know, we do. We've got to continue the good fight as conservatives.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. And here in South Carolina, we've done a great job. We gave Donald Trump the greatest number of votes that's ever been given to a presidential candidate in South Carolina history. We won elections up and down the ballot. We expanded majorities in the state house and state senate, won numerous local races around the state, won five or six counties we haven't won since Reconstruction.
Yeah.
You know, we're on the right track here. We've been successful because of the conservative principles we have here in our South Carolina Republican Party. And, you know, the point is we just need to continue it and do more
right.
of it. You know, I mean, when you lose, you can't quit. When you win, you can't quit. Yep. You got to stay involved. Yep.
Well, in 2 years, or no, actually not even 2 years, next year, 2022, we can regain control of the U.S. House of Representatives. We can regain control of the U.S. Senate, but it all starts, as you said, in just a few months here with a precinct reorganization. Drew McKissick, it's always good to talk with you, my friend, and we'll keep up the good fight.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joey. Have a good day.
You too. Have a great Monday.